Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and of course, my boyfriend is back. My boyfriend's back. Here he is. Who are you, Johnny Boy? I missed you.
John Riccio, how are you guys doing today?
Good. I missed you, honey. Well, I hate to jump right in, but we just had something I feel horrible about. Paul Peterson, who's scheduled for 8:30 p.m. Eastern, just called us from California at 8 o'clock. He thought he was scheduled for 8. Unfortunately, I feel horrible because all of our good friends, John, that we've gotten to know and speak to and became friends with, they're all dealing with these fires in California. So everybody's evacuating their homes right now. It's just been crazy. So I hope he's okay, and I hope he could call us back. He said he would, so he'll call us back at 8:30. So, but tonight we do have a great show. But before we get started, let's say thanks to our sponsors. Excuse me, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff, Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oco Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer, West Hudson Publishing Company in New Kearney, New Jersey, and Joey Max Hot Dog Truck and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, where you can get oral satisfaction guaranteed. So tonight we have a great show. We've got a fabulous singer. I love her. Her name is Donna Linton, and she did the song. John, did you know there was lyrics to Charlie's Angels?
I don't know the lyrics, Joanne, no.
I never knew there were. Until I met Donna. Well, I knew she did some other things as well, but I never knew she did Charlie's Angels. So on the phone with us tonight, Donna Linton, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Well, hello. Thank you very much for asking me to come, for inviting me. How are you doing?
Good, good. It's a pleasure. I'm so glad you're not in California. Everybody's running for for the hills, because that's what's on fire.
Exactly. That's so bad. I watched the news with that. Very, very bad. Very hot. They need rain. Lots of it.
That's horrible. Exactly. But, I was just mentioning to John, I mean, you've done so many other things, Donna, but you're really most, and in regard to your name, I got to tell people, your name is really Diane Linton, but you changed it to
it's
Donna.
Really it's really Diane Carol Linton.
Yes, Diane, that's the reason, the story. I don't write my questions down. I have to start doing that.
No problem. I used to sing under Diane Carol until Diane Carol, you know, the lady from Dynasty.
Yes.
And until she became famous, so I had to change. And I heard the song Old Donna from Richie Valens. So I thought, okay, I'll use my last name. And I'll use Donna. So I've been Donna Linton ever since.
Wow. And how old were you when you decided to change it? I mean, because you were already on the scene, and then Diane came on, right?
Right. I was thinking, well, she was also famous, but I didn't know of her. But my name is Diane Carroll. That is my name. So I sang under Diane Carroll, thinking that was a great name.
Well, it is for her and you.
Right, exactly.
Now,
and now she is no longer, as
know,
we know she has passed.
Yeah.
But I'll stay Donna.
Yeah, but Now, I was saying to John, I also mentioned to people in our post that I had no idea that Charlie's Angels theme song had lyrics in it. So I got to ask you, what came first, the music and then they asked you to sing it, or did it come written as an actual song with lyrics?
No. It was the music from The Ventures, you know, with the Charlie's Angels series. The
yeah.
Ventures made the music. It was only music. The da 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 da.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Europe, I was, you know, it was back in the 70s, of course, and I was the American. Not that they didn't have a few others there, but I was the American. And they just gave me the song. They said, here's the words. I had a producer. They made a video. I think it was the first video clip in Europe. They made a video, and there it was. And it became a hit very quickly. In fact, I had another song out called Cuando, Cuando. Dime cuando tu verai. That song. And they took it away quickly to put the Charlie's Angels out. And the song is called Charlie's Angels. Some people think it's called Come With Me, but it's not. It starts with Come With Me, but it is Charlie's Angels. And so then every time the TV series showed on the TV, my song was under, so that was nice. And then it went throughout. It was really in Europe. Then it became a hit through many different European cities. Then Cheryl Ladd, when Farrah Fawcett stopped with the series, Cheryl Ladd was taking her place, and she wanted to sing the song. But, of course, she would like my permission, and I said, no, thank you. I'll sing my own song.
Wow. Now, I wanted to – now, why do you think you're so much more popular over in Europe than you are here?
Well, I don't know, because I actually started here at the Copacabana. No, I started with a group called The Thrills. And on YouTube, you find my Underneath My Makeup song, and you find a lot of songs from The Thrills. And then I sang with the Ronettes in Rock and Roll Revival when Ronnie left Phil, finally. Her sister and cousin, Sister Estella Nedra, the cousin, didn't want to continue, so she needed two other girls. So it's very funny how we met. But anyway, so she asked to join with another girl called Chip Fields, who also became quite famous. And then her daughter also became, so everyone became famous. But I wound up having a little small spat with Ronnie one day. And my manager had already, my manager was really the manager of Connie Francis. His name was George Check. Yeah, George Check. So he had already sent my picture to Australia and everything. So when I had that little spat with Ronnie, which really wasn't very such a big one, I thought it was because when I was a little girl, I was all in awe of the Ronettes. So I said, oh, she hates me, you know. Anyway, so my manager asked me to go to Australia. He said, but you have to go tomorrow because I already sent the picture. So I wound up getting, you know, going to Australia and becoming quite famous there as well. But when I came back, I went on ships, and after going on ships, then I went to Europe, and there it became the song became famous, and they just kept giving me songs and writing songs for me, and me writing my own songs. So of course, then I married a Dutchman, so I wound up staying in Europe. So there was my career all over again.
Wow. Wow. So, and now you're still performing to this day. You had gigs all scheduled, right? I mean.
Right. I'm still performing to this day but I always perform in Europe because I happen to live in Florida, and for some reason or other, they're not offering very much money. So therefore I go to Europe. That's where I can make money. And I was supposed to have been there in April, and I should have. I had 5 shows lined up. One was in Germany and the rest in Holland. Then I had 3 interviews, and then I was actually going to record Charlie's Angels over again with a big band. So and we hadn't discussed money yet. But then the virus came, and so I never even went. But I have to say that my father was with a band called the Chick Webb Band way back when. My father is Charles Linton.
Mm-hmm.
He was famous with the band. He was the lead singer. And he also had to sing the, you know, this is for the jazz people. he only wanted to sing all the nice, smooth, sexy songs for the ladies, you know.
Yeah.
And Chick had said, he said, listen, you have to sing some fast songs, some swing. He said, I think Guy Lombardo or somebody was also out at that time doing all the swing songs. So he wanted to sing swing songs. So he says, you find me something, because my father said he wasn't going to do it. Meanwhile, he went to the Apollo and he heard there was a lady there that, the lady was Ella Fitzgerald. So
oh,
he
wow.
brought her to the Chick Webb band and they started doing duets together. He the slow songs and she the fast songs and some duets. So that's really how I would think how I got my, shall we say, musical interest. And then my mom was a concert pianist. So that's also, you know, that was also music was in my life. And I always wanted to be you know, an artist. And I read the books about the Ronettes going to England and they didn't have to go to school. They don't have to go to school. But I became a Ronette many, many, many years later. After
Right. Are you still close with Ronnie or no?
Can you say that again?
Are you still talk to Ronnie Spector?
No, not at all. In fact, she came here to Florida, and I went to the place to see her, and I couldn't get backstage. And I wish that would be so nice. I would love it. It would be very nice. Can I just tell something about my Diane Carroll Australia story?
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. I think that's quite interesting. I'm writing a book because I consider my life like divine intervention, never a coincidence. But with this story, me having Diane Carroll and then Linton, when my manager asked me to go to Australia and I had to pack in one day and be gone, I wound up going to Sydney, Australia, and then Perth. Well, on that very day that I was leaving, so when he was saying, you have to go tomorrow, so it wasn't the day after or 3 days, it was this Saturday, that particular Saturday. Yeah. Well, Diane Carroll was having an affair with, isn't that Carroll? I forget his name. Oh, I just forgot his name. Anyway, she was having an affair with this gentleman who was a, I can't think of his name at the moment. She was having an affair with, it'll come to you, with someone from England who was very famous. So he was going to, from England, everyone knew about their affair. So he was going to Perth as well on that very day. But in the newspaper on that day, not the day after, was David Frost. There you go. Was David Frost marries, not David Frost, sorry, Diane Carroll marries David's friend. So everyone's in an uproar. She, what? They were having this long-distance affair from England to New York. Meanwhile, when I step off the plane, finally, 24 hours later, they're taking pictures of me, and I'm coming off the plane. I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. They knew I was coming. Meanwhile, they saw my passport, and they thought I was that Diane Carroll. Didn't even look at the Linton. It was Diane Carroll. It was in the newspaper that David Frost was coming on the plane before me, going to Perth, Australia as well. So they were actually looking at the airport that maybe they're going to sneak and have a little rendezvous. Meanwhile, here I come with the name. So they take me to his press conference, and I remember sitting there. In fact, I have a picture of me looking very stupid. But anyway, me sitting there, and he walks over to shaking hands to all the newspaper people. He says, and what newspaper are you from? And so he shakes my hand, and if you see me, I have the biggest smile on my face. It looks so funny. So I call that divine intervention, because on that, with my name, Diane Carroll, David Frost on the plane before me, also not going to Sydney where everyone goes, but going to Perth, and me having the same name. It was just divine intervention. So I became very famous in Australia. Mm-hmm. I had a one-month engagement, and I wound up staying 2 years instead. And then from there, I traveled half the world on ships, of course, on many ships. Then I stayed in New Zealand for a while, and then they wanted me to go to Bangkok. And I figured 2 years is long enough, so I went back to the States.
Wow. I wanted to ask you, are you the original singer of I Want to Be Where You Are? Because I love that song.
No, I like it too. In fact, I gave you an MP3 for it.
I don't know if you sang it first because I like the Jackson.
No, I didn't. I love that song. I believe I Want to Be Where You Are is from the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure.
Yeah. I Want to Be
Right,
where
it's from the Jackson.
Yeah, I like
yeah, that. Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for my album. I had to choose which songs I wanted to sing, and that was one of them. And the other one, the other one that I sent is a song called You Belong to Me. That's a song that I wrote that I love.
Mm.
The Charlie's Angels, of course. And the other one is If I Never Sing Another Song. That was number 8 in Greece.
Yeah,
and many people have made disco versions of that song, and it's all over the place. So it's nice.
Well, speaking of music, I'd love for everybody to hear, if they've never heard before, the Charlie's Angels theme with lyrics, and it's called Charlie's Angels, and it's by Donna Lynn. John, you want to do it, or you want me to hit it? I don't know if I can.
I got it. There we go.
There we go.
There you go.
You have such a beautiful voice.
I got to tell you, I think they should have kept that as the theme song because I like that one so much better than the original one.
Right.
Me too.
I'm like, I feel like I've heard it before, but am I confused because I know the music the musical version of,
you know the
but
melody,
I feel like
right.
I've heard that song before, and I know I have, but I feel like I haven't, but I love, your voice is beautiful in it, and it's just so 70s, I love it.
It is 70s. I was going to say, I had toured with Sammy Davis Jr. through Europe, and I toured with what's his name, I sang at Frank Sinatra's party, I didn't tour with him. With Sammy Davis Jr. and Ray Charles. And Sammy Davis Jr., he also liked that song. He was thinking this should have been the one, in the States at that time,
Right. I agree with John.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, you know
I
what?
I think so, too.
When they do another remake, you should tell them to play your song. You got to reach out to find out if they're doing another one. Drew Barrymore did it, right?
Drew Barrymore. I actually wrote a song, but they didn't accept it for the new Charlie's Angels movie that came out last year.
Well,
I wrote a song,
right.
But you send the song in, and they either accept it or they don't, and they didn't. So it's a pity. But anyway, but to me, I'd rather they put this song out, that one,
Absolutely.
Instead of anything new. I think it's good.
Right.
Because
well,
it still has that melody,
Yeah. Well, if no one's ever heard it, you just heard it now. So I would love.
Right. Thank you.
I would love to also hear I Want to Be Where You Are, only because I love that song. Do you want to hear it now, folks?
Yeah.
All right. This
I
is I Want to
like
Be
it
Where
too.
You Are. Thank you.
That's beautiful. You have such a beautiful voice. Were you trained, or is this just a natural?
I have to say two things. I always believe that if you have an ear and you have some sort of a voice, you can always sing, but you must have the ear. That's very important. To be able to carry a tune. But my mother was a music teacher, so I was really trained classically, and Mom was trying to teach me the piano. But once I started with my group, The Thrills, and we had this hit record out underneath my makeup, and we used to sing in the Palisades Amusement Park, I thought I was just too famous. You know, as a little young girl, I thought I was too famous to take lessons. So my voice changed. It got very, very strong instead of more, let's say, classically trained. So I was trained, yes. Mm-hmm. But everyone can sing as long as you have a good ear, you know. And then someone can teach you how to hold a note or take a breath.
Right.
But you must have a good ear. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I was sitting here trying to move. I'm trying to move without hurting myself.
Oh, yes. Yeah, take care. Be careful.
I love that song.
Be careful.
You did a great job on it. Oh, man.
Thank you.
You definitely, the chorus, whenever I heard the chorus on your version, my hair stood up on my arms. I got the chills.
Yeah. I like the chorus. I had a producer by the name of Eddie Owens in Holland, and he was very, very good. He did this particular album called Let the Curtains Fall. That's because there was another hit of mine called Let the Curtains Fall. So he did a whole album, and he did some great songs. And the other song, and he did, you know, a great job. I had a lot of guests on my album as well. Mm. And then I had a man called Jan Tut Stielemans. Jan Tut Stielemans whistles and plays the harmonica. And in many of these old movies, you hear the whistle and you hear harmonica that's always Jan. Was it made in Europe, Belgium, or may it be here? There was always Jan. So he was also guest on my CD. But then I had If I Never Sing Another Song, that was done by Shirley Bassey, Sammy, by everybody. And that everyone loves, as I said, it was number 8 in Greece, and everyone loves that song. So they made, let's say, a disco version of it.
Right.
And I like it, but I mean, I'm in love with the song. So it's like more classier songs on my CD, I have to say. It's really nice. Great song.
Are you working on anything now?
To be truthful, what I'm working on is my book. I'm wanting to go back to Holland. So as soon as things clear up, I hope I can get back to Holland. And that's where I will work. Because it makes, sometimes it may be rude of me, but sometimes they want to pay me so little here that I say I have more than that on my face with the makeup, more money on my face. Let me go back to Holland. So I go to Holland to work. But I'm working on the book. I've been working on this book for so long, and many people are really trying to say, you got to finish the book. I want to read it. You got to finish the book. And so that gives me the inspiration. But when I came to Florida, my brother passed away, and that kind of, I stopped writing the book. And the book, then when I finally picked it up again, took another turn. It was like writing a letter to my mother, writing a letter to my father, it took another turn, but yet it still continued with everything that I've done. But to be truthful, I see my book as a movie because I used to read a lot, and there was one book I read called The Adventure, either The Adventure or the Adventurers. I don't know. I believe it was one man who went to so many different countries, and the things that happened to him. Well, my life was the same way. I used to just stand in front of a ship about to go on, thinking, oh, God, what's going to happen on this one? On every ship, something new happened. In fact, I met my ex-husband on a ship. He was working on a ship. I was working on a ship, so that's why I went to Holland. And then I saw another movie called The Landlord. That was a white gentleman who inherited a house in Harlem in New York, and the things that happened with him, so funny. So I see my life as that, the traveling, and then I'm a mixed lady, you know, with everything. I just found that I have American Indian in me, which I didn't know. I thought I only had Indian, Ukrainian, and Black, but I have I have the other Indian as well, so I have everything in me. So my book is going to be called Black Russian. I have the name already. Black Russian, because you could think of, you know, me being a mixed lady, we'll just make it, you know, I'm not going to say Indian, Cherokee, Ukraine, you know, just call it Black Russian. And my favorite drink used to be Black Russian. So I want to have a Black Russian, you know, a little in a cocktail glass on the front or back,
yeah.
I don't know. And then I have so many paintings of me that people made throughout my, let's say throughout the world. And I have them on my wall now. So I want one of the paintings on the back or the front. I think that it's kind of funny. And then I see it as a movie. I'm not going to say, well, Donna Linton did this or Donna Linton did that. No, this gentleman, Charles Linton, was in the Cotton Club in Harlem, singing with Ella Fitzgerald, describing him, describing her, describing little things that happened. Then he found a coach. Coach was my mother. She was a very tall, blonde, pretty lady, and he liked blondes. And what happened with them, and then their children, just going down the line. And then I write it like, and she did, not I did. So it is an autobiography, but then it's not. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you, who do you see you playing you in the movie?
I really don't know. I mean, let's hope that happens. That would be fantastic. I really don't know.
If one comes about, who do you see, or who would you like to have playing you?
Oh, but I think we lost her, Joanne.
Oh no! She said the phone kept hitting her face. You know, so.
Oh, wait, she's back. She's back. Donna, you're back?
Donna? Oh, this is Paul.
Hey,
oh,
Paul.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Hey, Paul.
Oh,
so sorry, Paul.
It's not the first time that's happened.
Exactly. So if we had more time when you called before, I was going to ask Donna if she minded if we called her after, since we got you calling from L.A. I hope you're okay with the fires out there.
Well, we're okay. It's very smoky and lots of ash on the cars. I was only really worried about dinner. Ron and I were supposed to get over to the lodge at 5:30, so she's off to pick up dinner. She'll bring it home.
I'm so sorry about that. Well, I just want to say,
how are you guys doing? Any threats to your well-being?
Oh God, not since I went out in the alley.
Yeah, it's so
far. Had a gun. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, good. Everybody you talk to, you got to ask about the virus. Is your family okay? Are you traveling? Oh, it's amazing.
No, yes and no. Family's okay. I'm not traveling. Yes, but everything's good. So. But, Paul, I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure to have you on. I mean, we all enjoyed you when you were in Donna Reed, and you're still very associated with Donna Reed, right? I mean, the show?
Yes, and of course with the Donna Reed Foundation from her hometown in Denison, Iowa. That will always be part of my life. And even though our ranks are getting thinner, I still talk with Shelley Fabre all the time. And, of course, baby sister Tricia, Patty, who was on the show. So it's, it's a part of my life. There's a wonderful story that Tony Dow shares about the impact of doing a long-running series. Most actors, you go from one job to another, to the next, and to the next. And when you get a series, as Tony Dow said, poof, there goes your life.
Well, as everybody knows, Paul played Jeff Stone in the Donna Reed Show for many years. Oh, my God, you almost did 10 years on there. And then
it was eight years, 276 episodes.
And how old were you when you started, Paul?
I was there from 12 to 20.
Wow. Now, if those who don't know, if you're an avid listener or you've been on the show and you've been a child actor yourself, Paul is he established a minor consideration. It's a group for support for child stars, and he basically changed a lot of the laws for child stars. So I wanted to ask you, Paul, did something happen with you that brought this all about, or is it something you saw take place that you just had to right or wrong?
Well, it's a combination. But let me quickly say this. Nobody beat me up. Nobody stole my money. I got started in show business because my mother was bigger than me. But once I got past the Mickey Mouse Club and doing wonderful movies like Houseboat, I made a lot of friends in Hollywood, kids my age. And as I learned their life stories and myself got out of town, I started to see this common thread of how exploited and how unfair the system was. And the more I looked into it and the more I talked to my friends, the easier it became to put together a foundation called a minor consideration. Because once my buddy Rusty Hamer killed himself in 1990, I'd had enough of going to funerals.
Yeah. And now, like today's child stars, do you think, obviously it's a totally different realm of what they're going through, but do you think it's somewhat similar, or?
It's always the same. It's the same because the elements of your life as a young performer, particularly a successful young performer, are the same. First of all, parents, parents, parents. If you're lucky and you have Ron Howard's parents, you make it through okay. But if you're unlucky, if you have Gary Coleman kind of parents, you're going to have serious problems. And what we discovered as we started to change the laws is that children who work in the entertainment business are actually exempt from child labor laws federally because children are chattel. They belong to their parents. So if you don't have good laws in place on a state-by-state basis, the children are at risk. Look at the kids on John and Kate Plus 8.
Yeah.
They paid the mom, they paid the dad, they paid the director, the writers, the crew, and nobody paid those 8 children.
Hmm. Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that about them.
People don't. The assumption is everybody's being hugely compensated. Well, in the case of Pennsylvania, where they did John and Kate Plus 8, there were no laws on the books to protect those children individually, and yet there they were, the stars of the most successful reality show on cable. And at the end of the day, when I went to Pennsylvania to change the rules with Representative Thomas Mert, they were shocked to discover that their own Department of Labor and Industry had never visited the children and their production set. They were there for 6 years with cameras in the bathroom, cameras in their bedroom, doing second takes, promotions, all sorts of publicity, and no one from the state went to check.
Wow. So what specific laws did you help put into play for the kids?
Well, first we modeled the new Pennsylvania laws after the California child labor laws. California really has some extensive laws, about 90 pages in all, things that protect money, that protect the workplace. And what I really explained to Pennsylvania is if you won't give me child labor laws, at least give me the rules that you give to animals. Do you know that the American Humane Association has more extensive rules for spiders and fish and goats and sheep and horses than they do on movie sets for kids?
Wow.
Well, that's why I get wound up about this, and I try to fix it, because the best thing is not to get mad, it's to get even. And fortunately, today's children, and particularly through the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA and the producer associations, at least at the highest level, they're doing a little better. And that's good. Well, they know, you know, there's a lot of former kid stars who can generate a lot of publicity if people don't watch their P's and Q's.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. I wanted to ask you, did you have anything to do with younger children having to be twins, that, you know, one child couldn't do certain hours? That's why they started using twins to switch off?
We did. In fact, the first law we passed was what we called the Preemie Bill. Let me explain. This is a good story. When Hollywood hired babies, they hired twins because they could get around the 20-minute work rule. By hiring twins, you can work one baby for 2 hours, and then you work the twin for the next 2 hours. So they doubled the intent of the law, which was meant to protect. Now, mind you, babies, particularly premature babies, are very vulnerable, their eyes, their heart, and their lungs. So what Hollywood was doing was actively soliciting premature babies right in the hospital.
Wow.
So we passed, our first law that we passed prevented Hollywood from hiring kids until they were full term and full birth weight and had a doctor's letter that stated that fact, because Hollywood was hiring infants that were 10 weeks premature.
Wow. That's crazy.
But that should be the law all across this land, and it's
right.
Not.
Well, when you mentioned Pennsylvania, that I was surprised, because I figured all the laws were the same throughout the country.
Absolutely not. In North Carolina, to this day, they brag about having no child labor laws.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's where Drew Barrymore started her addictions on Firestarter.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy that, you know, that it's basically abuse to some degree, you know.
That's exactly what it is, because the status of children in our culture, I am sad to say, is not what it purports to be. We're supposed, the most precious thing we have, the most important job we have, is to raise the next generation. And yet look what's happening in education and the violence on our streets. It's embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
What makes me laugh is here's a guy that grows up on a black and white family show from the late 50s through the mid 60s. What, I got to be the one that gets out there and hollers about this? Well,
yeah,
I guess I am. Who better than Jeff Stone?
right. I wanted to ask, now we're back on Jeff Stone, I got to ask you, whose idea was it for you to start singing on the show and become a singer? Was it yours, or did they play that in because Ricky Nelson was making money and doing it? I mean, what's the story behind
Ricky Nelson, he's to blame. No, the fact is the producer was Donna Reed's husband, Tony Owen. And he came to me and Shelley and said, look, we got this record company called Colpix, and we're going to have you guys sing. Now, Shelley was embarrassed as all get out. She doesn't like to perform singing. And I couldn't wait because Ricky Nelson was getting all those gorgeous women in fast cars.
Right. Oh, God.
Well, it was, they brought together some very talented people who surrounded us, and Shelley's first song, well, Johnny Angel, was a monster hit. And mine, She Can't Find Your Keys, and then more importantly, My Dad, were big hits, and I had fun doing the singing.
Right. Well, after the show, did you continue singing? Like, you know, a lot of artists from the 60s, and sometimes they do these tribute venues where they do like all 50, 60 songs. Have you ever done that? Or
Look, maybe it's my fault. I get bored real easy, and the idea of going out night after night or weekend after weekend and singing the same songs, I just couldn't bear. I have other interests. But believe me, I admire and respect the people who do it. You know, I'm very close with Fabian and with Jimmy Darren. Frankie Avalon, I admire what they do, but it ain't me.
Right, right. What now? You also wrote a book, Walt, Mickey, and Me: Confessions of the First Ex-Masketeer. What? Tell us about that.
Well, I was the first kid that was fired on the Mouseketeers, and so that makes me the world's first. And I meant to write a funny book, but as I talked to my fellow Mouseketeers, all of whom I stayed friendly with, it became ever more important to me and serious because it described pretty well not only the status of the children, but the uses to which children are put, the products right. they are meant to sell, the social structures that they promote unwittingly sometimes. And if the Disney Corporation was a pretty good place to work for a kid, but it wasn't right. perfect. It wasn't perfect because it is unnatural for a child to work. It is just flat unnatural.
But you were loving it, right? You were having a great time doing all these things, right? I mean,
there's nothing wrong with being rich and famous. It just doesn't last your whole life. You've got to make plans on a day-to-day basis, surrounded by your adult co-stars and a sympathetic and understanding crew and a supportive family, to make plans for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
You've got to leave town, get your education, find another avenue of expression, find another way to make a living, and treat the arts the way they should be treated, as a lot of fun occasionally.
Do you think that's what happened with a lot of child stars that go off the rail, that they just didn't have anything to fall back on? And
I know that's what happens to them. That's what I deal with on a daily basis. They sacrifice their education, their relationship with their brothers and sisters and their parents. It can be destroyed by fame, and then one day nobody will hire you. My father had a great expression. He didn't much care for my performing. And he said to me one day, and, you know, I was a pretty popular kid. He said, "Paul, I loved telling people that you were my son, but I hated it when I was introduced as your father." And there's a big distinction. Going to regular school was a hellish experience when you're so different, when you have a different lifestyle even than your classmates even dream about. You know, people who think that that's fun are just nuts. Beautiful women staying home on Saturday nights because everybody assumes they've got a lot of friends and they're out. Being a kid who likes to chuck a baseball around and run and get dirty fixing a car, well, people just disappear from me because they think, you know, you're in the movies.
So you were the kids treated you differently when you got famous.
And it's understandable. We all get it. We understand. But it's hard when you're a kid. You don't know what normal is. And that has a lot of long-term consequences.
Yes.
That's why for young men in particular, when they arrive in their 40s, there are thresholds. For women in their 20s and men in their 40s, that's when a lot of suicides happen. And I must tell you, here's a really something you'll find astonishing. I know more brothers and sisters of child stars that killed themselves than child stars who killed themselves.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because reflected glory. It's tough. It's tough. It's not like my sister, beautiful, talented. Pammy hated being my sister when she was in high school and college, because sooner or later you're identified by that simple fact, not for what you do, but for what your brother does.
Right, right. Well, I wanted to ask you now, do you guys, let's say we were having a coronavirus, do you and a lot of the folks, the kids from the TV shows get together on occasion and just hang out, go out for dinner or something?
Oh, no, 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 no. We get together as best we can. We've all had to adjust our lives with this COVID-19 nonsense. But we stay in contact. You know, there's a lot of former kid stars in a minor consideration, and we stay in touch regularly. We're just like sort of a big high school classmates.
Right.
But we're regular visitors at each other's home.
Nice. That's nice. That's nice. Now, are you working on anything now, Paul? Any new books or anything? Or are you working on any laws?
Our latest book project was the Donna Reed scrapbook, which is an anniversary edition. Last year was the 60th anniversary. And along with Donna's youngest real daughter, Mary Owen, and our publisher, Deborah, we put together a little effort that people can purchase, and they seem to like it. It's got a nice oversized format, lots of pictures, and some fun stories.
Nice. And when do you see that coming out?
Oh, it is out. Yeah, you can get it anywhere. Amazon, any bookstore, you can order it. It's called the Donna Reed Show Scrapbook.
Nice.
The anniversary edition.
Nice. And who's all in that other than Donna Reed related?
Well, it's everybody who was on the show. We had dozens of guest stars,
nice.
You know, from Jimmy Darren and Buster Keaton, famously. Just tons of people who worked on the show, and we have pictures of each of them and little vignettes to tell you what it was like, and it's great fun. It also explains the world of television in the black and white classic television era.
Right. Sounds nice. It sounds like it should actually be not a movie, but some kind of something in film.
Well,
I mean,
I think it is kind of that. It documents a time in our life when, remember, there were only three networks back in our day. We were broadcast in black and white. So, I used to tease Bill Cosby when he had the number one show in the country. His weekly viewership was around 12 million people. And I would laugh because the Donna Reed Show, every Thursday night, drew over 33 million people.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a huge, huge demographic. My God.
Yep.
I'm surprised John hasn't asked you this question. What do you think about these kids shows today? That the shows that have children in them now.
I'm very disturbed. I think the children don't seem to have very good manners. That they have very poor grooming habits. They mouth off to their parents. There's never a dad in the home. I'm sorry. It's not a healthy environment.
No. I mean,
that's what I was going to say to Paul, is that your show, I grew up watching the Donna Reed Show. I watched it on Thursday nights, and I also watched the reruns when I came home from school for lunch. They were on, I think, Channel 11 or Channel 5. I mean, that was part of our family, and it was just a wholesome show. It was a good show. And nowadays, you know, like you said, they took the father out of the home, or, you know, they make the male of the household look like an idiot. And it's just a totally different way of growing up. And I think it just reflects on what's happening, you know, in the world right now. Everyone's going nuts because they have no good background of people, no role models. Like we had when we were growing up.
I agree with you 100%. You know, we knew, even at the time we were doing the show, that we were presenting a highly idealized view of American family life. We got it because we knew families weren't perfect. But, you know, when you come into this world and your family isn't perfect, you can at least have an idea what it ought to look like. How we ought to behave. And I know when I take kids up at YMCA summer camp, I would very strenuously hold for values. And at the end of an 8-day camping trip, all I was able to do was explain to the kids, I need you to do four things. I need you to say, please, thank you, excuse me, and I'm sorry. If you can do that on a consistent basis, you'll get along.
Right, right. That's true.
Well, even the kids growing up in a dysfunctional family had the Donna Reed show as their family to look at. You know, that's the way
right.
it was.
We
you know, that,
not
they,
only family to look up to, but we had the shows to look up to.
Well,
that's
it was,
right.
It was part of our lives.
Yeah,
right.
And we tried to live up to that, and I know it certainly rubbed off on me. And here I am. I'm about to be 75 years old in a couple of weeks, and I'm proud of the Donna Reed Show. There's not a thing, there's not a single episode that embarrasses me. I remember talking to Madonna one time, and she was explaining to me how she wouldn't let her kids watch her work product. And I said, Madonna, why did you do stuff that I couldn't let my kids watch?
Right.
That's what bothers me. It's like if you won't let your own kids do this, then don't do it.
Right.
That's right.
I was gonna say the same thing. You don't want other people's kids to do your kids to do it, but you're doing it for other people's kids and molding them to be the image. It's crazy.
You are poisoning childhood, and
exactly.
There are so many people in Hollywood for whom they have no conscience, and.
No.
And the culture that surrounds them is reflective. They tell you all you need to know about them.
Right, right. Well,
hey, Paul, I got another question for Paul too. It's coming out now with all the pedophilia and everything. Yeah, you know, with Corey, with Feldman, whatever it is, he's talking about that. How was it back then? Was it something that was hidden away that nobody knew about, or did it exist at that time?
Oh, it existed. It was never quite so bad for young boys, but it is now. But, you know, the female casting couch was a reality from the 19-teens, for goodness sake. Mm. And the abuse and exploitation that particularly young girls are subjected to has not improved. It's come out from under the rock where everybody used to hide, and now it's in your face. It's Miley Cyrus doing a pole dance at a music award show. It's sad.
Yes.
It's right in your face.
Right, right. It is. It's just amazing how the times have changed. It really is. And that's why I love having the guests on that we have on, like yourself, because you are such a part of my life, and it's just wonderful to have the opportunity to speak to you, and I appreciate this so much, Paul. Thank you.
Oh, please, the pleasure's mine. I know I get on my soapbox all the time, but, hey, what the hell, I earned it.
As long as you do the dishes while you're on that soapbox.
Someone has to stand up for the kids, and you know, thank God, Paul, you're there for them.
Right.
Great.
Now,
that's our mission, and the interesting thing with all the things I've done with my life, a minor consideration, this foundation, which is now primarily in the hands of a younger generation, will continue on because there will always be young performers.
Yeah. Do you have any kids yourself, Paul?
I do, 3 grown kids.
Are any of them in the industry or totally nowhere near it?
You know, the second son owns a casting firm, but the other one is a history teacher and the daughter works in the financial world.
Mm. Now, your son who's doing the casting, I'm sure your stories must resonate with him, where he knows what to, you know, how to behave with the kid. Not behave, I shouldn't say. Pardon me.
Actually, I'm quite proud of him. As a person who's in the front line in hiring, he's very sympathetic to what young performers go through.
He is careful. Yeah.
He's careful with the young talent that he deals with, so more so than most people. But it's such a peculiar business. It's hard to explain it to people.
Yeah, Well, now too, there's so many flash in the pans. It's like, you know, that you see them there and they're gone so quickly. Where back in the
reality
day,
television, it's a joke. In my day, you had to sing, you had to dance, you had to act. You know, your role models were, you know, people who were really competent. Shirley Temple, for example.
Right.
Anyway, listen, I don't know about your time, but in this house, my food just came in the front door.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Yes,
oh, the pleasure's been mine.
Thank you so much. Everybody, pick up the Donna Reed Show scrapbook. You're going to love it. It's on Amazon and any other outlet where you can buy books. And enjoy the Donna Reed Show as we still want
to.
All
right.
Thank you, kids.
Paul. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, we interrupted.
Hey, Joanne, if you want it. You want to call Donna back? She's waiting for us because she her phone died or we got disconnected while we were talking to her. So if you want to give her a call back?
What is it? Hold on 1 second.
It should be on the screen.
Yeah, it's a 305, right?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. I'm going to lose you, okay?
Okay.
Whoops. Hold on, my mic just...
Yeah, so, I mean, it was great to talk to Paul Peterson. I remember, you know, as a little kid watching the Donna Reed Show and getting the music. I remember getting the 45 of Shelley Fabre singing Johnny Angel. Of course, that was my name. And it was just... great song and, you know... And I think he's right. You know, back then, people had to have talent to be on a TV show. They had to sing, they had to dance, they had to act. Nowadays, you know, I mean, reality TV, you could do anything, and, you know, anything goes on the TV now, and then you get the ratings. And it's sad. It's just, it's not the same. And the kids growing up today don't have, you know, the role models or see what really talented people are. You know, with the auto tune singing voices, anyone could, you know, if they have a computer, they could sing.
Right.
You know, and it's just not the same. It's just terrible.
The same anymore, you know. But we do have Donna back on the line. Donna, what happened?
Hey, Donna.
Did you hit your face?
Hi, guys. Have no idea what happened, but at least it gave me a little time to think of who I want to play me. Halle Berry.
There you go.
Oh, that's great.
There you go. Yeah.
But can Halle Berry sing?
Young and gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
But can she sing
strong.
Like you, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not, but listen, you could play. She can play my songs and then lip sing, no problem.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Donna, I'm glad we got you back because we didn't get a chance to say thank you and wish you all the best. And if there's anything else, you know what? Someone told me to ask you about your connection to the mob, or is that not something you want to talk about?
Well, yes, I was in a short story, I hope. I was in Copacabana.
At the Copa.
And I went to school with Barry Manilow. And, of course, you know, sang that in Eastern District High School. He sang that song. And it was really happening. It was a true story. And and she was a showgirl. It wasn't a showgirl. It was a guy. Mm. He was a choreographer for the showgirls. His name was Doug Cowdy. He used to sit there every night and get drunk, and just because he didn't have showgirls every night, you know, anymore. So I used to have to take him home. But the interesting thing there is that one night you had a Little Italy parade in New York, and someone got shot in the Little Italy parade. It was a black guy who shot, I think, someone in the Gambino family. I don't know. But the man did live, and he was in a wheelchair. But at the Copa then, I was working at the Copa, so at the Copa, it was empty. Nobody was there. It was filled up every night. Nobody was there. And they actually, true story, had guns on top of the bar, you know. You know, just playing around, saying, hey, listen, put this up, you know, just playing around because we had no company. And they used to say, hey, Donna, sing this song, sing that song. So I would just entertain them. Meanwhile, It's meanwhile, a long time later, a month later, people started to come to the Copa again. There's a man, I hate to name names, but hey, true is true. A man called Crazy Joe Gallo. I don't know if you know from the Gallo family. Crazy Joe Gallo.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
supposedly had these eyes that nobody would look at. Anyway, he came out of hiding because they thought he was the one who did that with the Little Italy. In the Italy Italian Day Parade. He came out of hiding for, I think, his birthday or his girlfriend, whatever. But I remember him asking me, the manager of the Copa Gabbana, of whom I was having an affair with, sorry to tell you, but anyway, it was. those are the good old days.
Yeah.
Anyway, his name was Carmine. Carmine said, come on, Joe wants to talk to you. So I went to the table in the intermission, and he said, listen, I'd like you to come out to dinner with us, you know, with my family, me and my piano player. Piano player was Chris Townsend. Meanwhile, I was trying to look at those eyes because I heard about it, you know. But he wouldn't look me in the face, so in my eyes, so I never saw. But to make a long story short, to end that, I did not go to have breakfast, which was in Little Italy, and you stay till 6 o'clock in the morning, and they order for you. It was always linguine with clam sauce. Mm. And I don't like linguine with clam sauce, but that's what you eat because they order it. Crazy Joe Gallo got killed that night. They shot him.
Oh, my God.
They shot him. Can you imagine, had I have gone out with them, I might have gotten shot.
Yeah.
But it would have been a traumatic thing for me, you know. You don't fight in Little Italy. You do not. The family say, no, you don't. But he was in hiding for so long, and they went to get him. So anyway, they shot him. They shot his bodyguard in the backside, I remember. I didn't go because I had this big date with one of my old boyfriends I was madly in love with. So I went out with him instead, thank goodness.
Wow.
So and how I also remember this is because there was a radio station in New York called WLIB, and there was a man called Jack Walker, a pear-shaped talker, because he was shaped like a pear. He also was stabbed by by some guy who worked there, and he wound up in the hospital. So I also went to the hospital to see him. But anyway, they both died on the same day, which was just pretty bad. But I'll always remember this Joey Gallo thing because I heard about him, and I wanted to see those eyes, and I couldn't. And thanking the Lord that I, you know, divine intervention again, that I did not go to have a breakfast with them in Little Italy. I've gone many times with, you know, with Carmine.
Right,
but
right.
I didn't, you know. I didn't.
Were you scared that you didn't go? Like, oh my God, I turned down the Crazy Joey Gallo. Like,
no, I was actually happy, and then I was seeing the boyfriend, which I was mad about. But then, who wasn't really my boy? Well, yeah, it was an old boyfriend that I saw again. But then again, I was so sad that my friend Jack Walker got, you know, died that night too. And on his funeral was Dionne Warwick sang and everything, and I wasn't invited. That's also a long. I mean, I have so many stories. It's just
Well, you better get them in that damn book, girl.
That's true. I'm gonna get them in the book. So, but it's I really see it as a movie, and I see it as the adventures because I've been to so many different places in the world, and so many things happen that it's cute, that's nice, that's great. And a couple of not nice things, but not too many. But I think I've had a fantastic life. I always call it divine intervention because these things aren't coincidences. These things, like my name, it's just, you know, I think it's supposed to happen.
Right.
The only
right.
problem is I'd like something really great to happen now, like me meeting my next millionaire husband would help a lot. and go live on a yacht.
Yeah, well, when you meet them, send the rich kids over this way.
I shall do it. I'll think. And then my girlfriend would also like that, so I'm hoping he has a brother or a father or
any
grandpa,
relative.
Anybody.
Any relative, send them around. Yeah. You know,
anybody, listen.
The other day, this lady was playing the lottery, not the other day, a while back, I apologize, and she's exhausted. She's in this nursing uniform, and she's like, oh, man, I got to win the lottery. I said, there's got to be a better way, and I said, if I find it, you're the first one I'm telling. So I made her day. But I don't know what happened. That was a while ago. But, you know, it's always nice to live comfortably, right? So
it's always nice to dream. That's
yeah.
very important if you stay positive. Because I always tell my friends, I live in a happy bubble.
Mm.
And it's not, someone said, oh, there's a thing in meditation with a pink bubble. I don't know what color mine is. I just know it's a happy bubble, which means you have the COVID, you have this, you got to wear a mask, you have to do all that. But it's not nice to say, but then it is nice to say, I'm not having too much of a problem with it because I do wear the mask.
Right.
I'm not alone. I do have company because I have two roommates. I do live with people, so I have a little company to talk
yeah.
to. I always call my friends in Holland. I have fans that call me. We talk, so I have that. And then I do go out, and I have a little store I go to, a little $10 store. I have a little restaurant I go to. I have another. Most of them are closed, but I have these few things. And then here I have Romeo and Juliet. That's my two, my doggies and my cat.
Why
and
don't
I'm
you
happy on that. That keeps me happy. That's my happy bubble.
Good. Why don't you get in touch with Hans and tell him to do a Facebook Live for you and set that up, and you sing some songs and let your fans hear you on Facebook?
Well, you know what they do? They have so much music on Facebook. They
no, I mean you doing a live Facebook Live.
Live
one. You singing, yes, yes. Yes, Hans could do that for you.
Yes, he can. Yes,
yeah.
Hans de Vries, he's such a nice guy. He does,
yeah.
does the Facebook page, he does everything. And if somebody has a birthday and I forget, he sends them a card from me. You know, he's
oh,
such
yeah.
a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like I have some very, very nice friends in Holland, so I do miss Holland, but I'm in love with Florida weather, so you won't get me out of Florida. Holland is definitely
oh.
my second home.
Yeah.
I do have a place there. So I love to go back to visit, but I cannot do the COVID. A mother's
yeah.
old bones need.
Well, Donna, when you finish the book, please please call us and come back so we can talk about the book and let everybody
Absolutely.
Know where they can get it, you know, because...
If you happen to know of a publisher or something or a ghostwriter, let me know, because I definitely would like to finally finish this book.
Well, if I hear of anybody, I will definitely send them your way.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing, you know, Andrew,
Absolutely.
Our friend... You know, our friend Andrew, he says, I say, Andrew, I'm coughing. I'm not feeling so good today. He says, you got to finish the book. You got to. he means before you keel over, Lynch, and finish the
exactly.
book.
Exactly. Finish that book. We got to promote that book. You know.
Right. I have to laugh with that. He's so cute, Andrew.
I was actually, he's going to kill me. You know how I haven't spoken to you. I haven't spoken to him either. And I owe him an email, and I haven't gotten to him. I'm going to try and hit him tonight.
Don't worry. I'll give greetings
yeah.
from you to him. Yeah,
well,
he's such a sweet person.
Put me on his good side.
I'm really gonna talk for you. Don't worry, you'll
yeah.
be okay.
Yeah, because
he's my buddy.
He's gonna kill me. So
yeah,
but,
he's very sweet.
Yeah, but oh my God,
well,
Donna,
thank you
so
Donna,
much.
So much for joining
yeah.
us.
Oh, you are welcome. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed it immensely.
Me too.
And nice meeting both of you. Let's stay in touch.
Yes,
Aww.
And I love playing your music, and I hope
yeah,
everybody,
thank you.
I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did too.
Me
and,
too. You have to play
yeah.
the If I Never Sing Another Song. That's
yes, cool. maybe next show we will. I don't know who we have coming up on the next show. Maybe we could end the show with it.
Okay, that's a great song.
Yeah, let's see.
That's a good idea.
Maybe we can end next week's show with it. Oh, yeah, why not? I don't see why not.
Good, that would be nice.
Yeah, of course, let's do it.
Thank you.
All right.
Don't forget to send
Thank
the link
you,
so
Donna.
I can just give
yeah.
it to a few
I will. I'll send the email. And you want me to send it to Hans as well?
Yes, absolutely. He'd love that. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Donna. Thank you so
okay,
much.
Thanks
it's
so
a
much,
pleasure.
Joanne.
Thank you, honey. Have a good night,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Donna
you, you too.
Take
bye
care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's so sweet. Yeah, and God, Aww. Paul is so dedicated. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's so loyal to, you know. That's why I had to know, like, did he experience something firsthand to be so...
Yeah.
You know, so passionate about it, but I guess, yeah, being around people who you were, I mean, for him, like you said, they were like their own little gang in school. So, They were best friends growing up, and to watch them kill themselves. I mean, I forgot the story behind Rusty Hammer, why he killed himself. I think he shot him. I don't remember. I didn't want to ask him. You know who Rusty Hammer was, right?
No.
John? He was in the Danny Thomas show. He played
Rusty.
Yeah, but I forgot the story. Yeah, I forgot the background on that, on why, or I don't know if he shot himself or OD'd, I don't know, but thanks to Paul Peterson, these young kids today, you're doing a hell of a lot better acting if he didn't come about and do what he did for you guys and create the all these laws and make sure people adhere to them, and because people do take advantage of kids in many ways, not only with that. I mean, God only knows. So it's a minor consideration in the organization. And his new book that's out, it's the Donna Reed Show scrapbook. And that should be pretty cool. And I wanted to mention, Billy reached out to us. Remember Billy from Billy Seidman, the songwriter who wrote the Elements of Songcraft?
Yes.
He reached out to us. He asked me to let everybody know, you know, due to, you know, there's no school activities, after school activities or whatnot. If you've got a kid, not even if they look like they got talented or seem like they got talent, turn them on to talent. You never know what somebody has inside of them until they're able to do it. So he's offering these after school, well, not after school classes, but let's see exactly what it says. They're virtual. You know what? This is great. If you are a kid that writes poems, and it can become a song, because really that's what a song is. It's a poem. I wouldn't say today's music is poems, but they start out as poems, and it's just words, and then they become lyrics, and then it becomes a song with music. So you could join the Song Arts Academy at songartsacademy.com and get virtual lessons on how to go about writing a song. If you've got a poem, you could put it to a song. If you're a musician and can't write lyrics, this is a great thing for you, too. If you like to play the guitar or fool around with the piano or just a keyboard, this is a great idea for the kids, because they have nothing going on. They really don't, and this is great. This is great. So for the Elements of Songcraft, learn how to write a song. Trust me, it's there. It's not taught. You're born with it. And if you don't let it out, you'll never get it out. You got to get it out. So check out www.songartsacademy.com with Billy Seidman. He's going to teach you guys how to write songs. And it's, I don't know, I think it's a great idea. My kids are really, you know, they're already musically inclined. So not songwriters, but they love music. But and that's their choice. And I wouldn't force them, but I would introduce them, which I did introduce them to music, and that's why they became musically inclined. And so they've reached their limit of what they wanted to accomplish, as far as I know anyway. John, does your son play? I know you play. Does your son play anything?
Well, yeah, he plays guitar and drums. Yeah, he's really, really good.
Oh, nice, nice. Did you guys ever play together in a band?
No, we would have the patience. I think we'd wind up killing each other. But
You never jammed out, do you?
No, we haven't had the chance. Setup, you know. But like they say, Joanne, each week, it's time to go, Clarabeau.
Oh, shut up. You know, I never got a chance to ask Maureen what she thought of the song, because she's been running from fire, so... To all our friends out on the West Coast, God, be careful, be safe. And, you know, things can be replaced. And when they say evacuate. Don't go around running around for stuff. I mean, important things, yeah. But, you know, things can be replaced. Well, thank you so much to our guests. Oh, Donna Linton. Linton, right? Donna Linton. Because she confuses me with a Diane Carroll. her Diane Carroll. It's Donna Linton. She's great. And I'm telling you, I never heard that. I feel like I have, but I don't know because I do know the theme. So am I being tricked into thinking that I know that song, John? You know,
well,
but I want to be
real. It reminded me of like a James Bondish type feel, too.
Yeah. And Paul Peterson, thank you so much. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. I believe you can eat inside now. I have to check with them, but they definitely have pickup and delivery. Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania. I hear they have some good things coming up. And KWV Wines in South Africa. Teas for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey. Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey. Oleander Public Relations in Texas. Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's sake. The Observer, West Hudson Publishing in Kearney, New Jersey. Joey Max Hot Dog Truck and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey for oral satisfaction guarantee. Go get yourself a dog. Yeah, I got to get over there. I owe them a picture, a frame saying that they're associated with the show. And I got to get that over to them. But yeah, so that's it, Johnny Boy. We got a pretty good month coming up, I think. I don't know. Yeah, we've got Richard Bay. We talked about that. Richard Bay, talk show host from Channel 5. Rick Ryan, he's got this song out. It's a tribute to Willie Nelson. It's really good. G.T. Spooner, he's got a new song out, and can't wait to have these guys on. The 20th is going to be cool. Rich Little, oh, my God. I didn't know he's doing some new stuff, amazing new stuff, so... Kirk Fletcher, he's a blues musician, and Paul Cruz, he's part of the Palm Springs Comedy Festival, and then on the 30th, we've got Mr. Artie Hoffman on for you guys, the psychic, if you want to call in. So we thank you so much, John. I love you. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. I missed you on Sunday. And I was lonely. I was lonely.
We'll see everybody on Sunday.
Yeah, you got it. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the week. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.